Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. This is Entrepreneur Eats, and I have a very special guest today. Deputy Mayor Consuelo Martinez has joined us, and she's going to tell us all about herself. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, I've been excited and anticipating this podcast for a while because you have a strong voice, so let's hear it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for inviting me. So yes, my name is Consuelo Martinez. I am the deputy mayor and I'm council member for representing District 1. And I've been on the council for over 6 years. So that time has really flown by.
Wow, 6 years yes. already.
Yes. And you know, I was thinking I've actually been kind of in this space of electoral politics for a long time, but I actually ran over 10 years ago, my first campaign. I ran in 2014 after the city moved from at-large to district elections. And so ran in 2014, and not really sure, you know, what was going to happen, not sure if the city would be ready for new leadership. And I came very close to winning by only 69 votes. And
that's so close.
An incumbent. Yeah, it was very close. And I think it surprised a lot of people who doubted me. It just was a signal to me that my city was definitely ready for change. And, you know, 4 years later, when I decided to run again and challenge the same incumbent, you know, I won by a landslide. And so a lot has happened since then. But yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. And I just think about, wow, I've been kind of campaigning for over 10 years. And that's just a long time, it seems. But it went by really fast.
So what did you do before 10 years?
Yeah, so at the time I was working for a nonprofit civil rights organization. So funny story about that. When I went to school, I thought, you know, I was going to be a lawyer. So my goal in college, I went to Palomar and then Cal State San Marcos, was to be a public interest attorney or an immigration attorney. Mm-hmm. So I'm a daughter of immigrant parents, very proud of that. And I have just always had a calling for supporting in folks who are, you know, disenfranchised. And I just really have a special connection to my immigrant community. And so I thought, okay, maybe public interest law or immigration, it was something very needed. So that was pretty much what I thought I would be doing. And I always said my dream organization to work for after graduation and becoming an attorney would be to work for an organization like MALDEF, which is a civil rights organization, or an organization like the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union. That's been around for a very long time. And I was on the path to go to law school, you know, had taken the LSAT, was studying for the law school exam. I got really sick during that time, was working for a lawyer part-time, so I didn't have benefits. So that health scare at the moment, you know, scared me and made me kind of hold off on going to law school. The school debt scared me away. Mm-hmm. And then eventually got laid off. This was like around the time of the last recession. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what do I do? And funny how things work. The ACLU actually was looking for a community organizer and hired me, and we opened the first Escondido office. So that's what I was doing, and that's the job that I quit to run for public office the first year. So I would say that I've done a lot of social justice work, civic engagement work in the community, and also prior to that, I was a bank teller and worked a lot in mortgage and banking industry.
So are you a native Escondido?
So I was born in Orange County, but I've been in Escondido since I was 4 years old. So I consider this my hometown because it's pretty much most of my life.
You went through the whole school district here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Started at Lincoln.
As
and it's
did
very
I.
cool. Yeah, cool. And it's, you know, awesome because now I represent the community that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. So I love that.
When you're 4 years old, your whole world can change in a moment and you just blend in with it.
Definitely. And my entire family here, so it's my parents, my sisters, my nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. So we're all in Escondido.
Escondido is a wonderful place, and a lot of people are working hard to make sure that it stays a wonderful place.
Definitely. I hope to be able to retire here and afford to retire here. That mm-hmm. is my goal. And just with my whole family, we love it here and we want to stay here.
What does that look like for you? How do you get to that goal of staying here and maintaining a job? And the economic times are so challenging, and our city is about to come back from a really challenging time financially. What does that look like for you to stay here and retire?
Yeah. Well, I'm really grateful that in November, the citizens of Escondido voted to increase the sales tax 1 penny, which that full penny stays in the city. So when I got on the city council in 2018, I realized what a mess, you know, was inherited. And it's not something that happened overnight. It was, you know, decades in the making. Many factors contributed to our budget deficit, but it was like, wow, you know, I have all these ideas for improving my community. I want to expand, you know, city services. I want to have more things for families to do in our city. And we have this like budget deficit. So that was a big challenge in the first 5 years of my tenure as council member. And so I feel like now we've turned a really great page in the city. And I just thank the voters for taking that on. And I think that they see that it's a collective benefit for all of us to be able to sustain the city services that we have, because cuts would be devastating. Yes. I'm very, you know, passionate about community and access and equity and making sure that nobody is left behind. And so having, you know, grown up in the neighborhoods that I now represent, I know what a lot of those challenges are. And so for me, it's really important for me to uplift those stories and those needs and the challenges that our city faces. Mm-hmm. And to also be really good with the finances of our city, right? Making sure that that the decisions we make are sustainable, not just for me when I'm on the council, but for generations to come. We need to make very good decisions, and we need to have transparent processes in place and really be communicative with the community. Because what I've been seeing, you know, I have been involved in the community even prior to running for office. I paid attention to local politics. It's kind of always been something that I've been passionate about. I grew up with family and parents that raised me to always help your community. That's just how I was brought up. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen, you know, the challenges of different economic times and different harmful policies. And so for me, it's important for me to be the leader and model the leader that I want to be in the community, but also to make sure that people don't lose trust in our public institutions. Mm-hmm. And we're in very, you know, scary times right now. And I do see it even when I go knock on doors. You know, people doubt their politicians, they doubt government, and they kind of paint us all with this broad brush. But we're all very different. Like, many people don't know that as a part-time council member, you know, I get part-time salary, and the salary that I get as a council member won't even cover my rent. Mm-hmm. It won't even cover my rent. Right. And so some people just kind of think we're these, you know, affluent politicians, and that's just not the case. You know, I'm just like my neighbor. You know, I live in the same neighborhood and have a lot of the same challenges. And so I really think it's important for us as leaders to communicate with the constituents in our community.
I totally
and to say,
agree.
Hey, this is what's really happening. Don't get caught up on the news channel that you're watching. Don't get caught up on the federal things that are happening. That all impacts us, and it does trickle down to the state, to the county, to the city. But there's like things that we can have a direct impact in our community. You know, whether you vote or not, you can come to a city council meeting and tell us what the issue is. And really, for me, I feel like the residents and my neighbors are the experts, and I'm always learning from them because I can't be everywhere all the time, right? And so for us, I think it's just important to trust each other and to build relationships with each other, even when we disagree. Right. And really, one thing that I think now, especially with the sales tax measure passing, is that it's going to be so important for the city to communicate how we use that money. Right. And that people voted for, you know, they voted for that for a certain reason, and that we're showing that we're good stewards of that taxpayer money and what we're using it, and that we're very transparent in the decisions that we make. So I know for me, that is something that I'm going to be, you know, very communicative about, and showing, hey, this is what you invested in. You invested in your city, and this is how it's, you know.
Right. And I understand there is an oversight committee.
There is. Yes, they haven't started meeting yet, but we just chose the community member, the business member, and the alternate. And so they will be meeting shortly. I think in the next couple of months we'll have their first meeting, and those will be open to the public as well.
Will they be in the same city council room?
I'm not sure logistically where they'll be. I hope so, but it'll be somewhere in the city hall campus. If not the council chambers, it'll be in the Mitchell room.
How does our public know where to look?
Yes. So great question. And that is something that I'm actually talking to the city manager about. By the way, the city manager is the operation. So all the staff of the city actually work for the city manager. The chief of police is actually under the city manager. So we policymakers, council members, and mayor, we make decisions at the policy level, the laws, the regulations, the ordinances, the rules, and the direction of the city. But who executes that is the city manager. Mm-hmm. And then we have a city attorney. So so he's the one that makes those decisions. And so how people find out about it is hopefully by our city website, but I'm always, you know.
And that was upgraded recently, correct?
It was. We have a new website. It's Escondido.gov now. We have a much user-friendly website. Give us your feedback. Because even today, I had a check-in with the city manager, and I said, hey, we still need to be publishing some meetings that some people might not know about, mm-hmm. right? So we hope to use that website tool as a way to inform, and I'm pretty sure that those meetings, the oversight committee will be on the public website, as well as I will share it on social media. You know, follow your elected officials on social media, because we also share lots of things that are happening, mm-hmm. and we can share quicker, right? Because we can, it's real time, and we can share something, mm-hmm. right? So I encourage people to know who your city council members are, know who your mayor are, know who your school board members are, follow them on social media if they're there.
Are the city council meetings on a regular basis?
So all our city council meetings are on Wednesdays. It's not every Wednesday, but we do, I think, meet most in other cities. Like, for example, San Marcos only meets twice, but we meet up to five times a month.
Depending on Wednesdays. Critical situations?
Yes, we are a full-service city, so we have lots to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we also have subcommittees. As council members, we divvy up assignments on different subcommittees. And then we also serve in regional bodies.
What is a full-service city?
We have our own wastewater, water treatment facility, so our own utilities. We have our own Escondido Fire Department, and we have our own police department. We also have our own library. So some cities contract out library services to the county. They might contract their law enforcement to the sheriffs, which is county, or Cal Fire, or a different, you know, fire agency. So we actually have that all in-house in Escondido.
So that city manager is very, very busy.
Definitely, yes. And we have over 1,000 employees. And so we have a lot going on in our city. That's why we're a full-service city. We're the third largest city after, you know, the city of San Diego. So even though we have that small-town feel, which I love, we are pretty big in the region.
Which leads me to talk about that 1% and making sure that that is distributed properly so that we can continue having these services.
Yes, so important. And like I said, it's going to be important for us as a city to communicate what that money is being used for. And also for the community to say, hey, we don't see this, we do see this. One example is, so I represent District 1. So the area around Washington Park is in my district. And for years, even before I got on the council, I had been hearing about challenges of traffic in that area. There's a lot of accidents at that intersection on Washington and Rose. And so I always knew that was a need. So on the council, I find out that things take a very long time in government, unfortunately. That's the not-so-fun side of government. Mm-hmm. But we have this traffic priority list, which determines what we're going to prioritize in each budget cycle, which is every year. And then even that takes years, and then we have to find funding for them.
What determines their priority?
A lot of factors, especially around the traffic engineer, is really the one that determines those. And then they bring that to us every few years. So I was actually surprised that we were seeing that list every few years instead of every year. So I requested, let's see this every year. Let's revisit this every year. So now we get annual updates on the traffic priority list. And then I was able to move Washington and Rose to number one priority from number five, which normally that would take 15 years to get. By the time we would have gotten to that, it would have been at least 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get my colleagues to support me in moving that to number one because of the skate park and just a lot of the new accidents that were happening and more people using the park, mm-hmm. which I'm happy they're using the park.
Yes.
And so even then, the constituents were like, hey, I thought you said that you were going to work on this. And I said, oh, I did. I actually got it moved to number one, but now it takes 3 years to get done. Mm-hmm. And it's, by the way, it's over $500,000 for that signal. And so it blows people's minds, right, when you tell them. But it's, again, it's just that active communication that I have to do to assure people that I'm listening to you. It's just, unfortunately, things take long in government. That's just how it works, mm-hmm. because there's so many agencies involved. You have to budget for it. But I'm happy that last week we finally issued the bid award for the contractor who is going to work on that traffic signal. And so we will have a left turn signal at Washington
Yay,
and Nash this
congratulations.
Year. But yes, it took 3 years. So again, cons and communication, informing the community that you didn't forget about them and just updating them. And they do appreciate when one does that.
Yeah. Congratulations on getting that accomplished.
Thank you. I wish we could have more and I wish it could be faster.
Well, that's usually the case in
right.
life.
Yeah. It's just about being transparent and honest, I think, is really, really important.
So you have 2 more years on your term?
A little less than 2 years. So next year. Yeah, next year we'll have an election in November of 2026. It went by really fast.
Yeah, it sure did. Time flies. So it what does. Is your plan?
Yeah, a lot of people, that's the popular question. Yeah, you know, I'm just open at this point. You know, I have time to make a decision. I love serving my community. I would love to continue to do that. But again, it's still at least a year and a half out, and I do have time to make that decision. So I'm keeping my options open.
Well, if you do not continue as city council, what would you like to get into?
I would still be involved serving my community no matter what. That's something that I've done pretty much my entire adult life.
And to that point, a lot of people who are not on city council or involved directly with a title in the city can get involved in our city, correct?
Definitely. Anyone can get involved. I have little ones that get involved at my community cleanups. I host monthly in-district community cleanups, and I have little ones that come and help pick up trash.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you don't have to wait to become a city leader
to
be involved.
Definitely.
Can you give me some examples on what that looks like if people are listening and say, hey, okay, I can get involved. Yes. I have some time. Where do I put that time
Yes. in? So I would say come to a city council meeting, sit in the audience, and just hear the things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. You can also watch online. You can watch on TV. But I think it's just so powerful when you can actually go in and see how we deliberate, how the different council members deliberate, because we all bring different talents and gifts and perspectives on the city council. So see how we deliberate. You will learn something new. You will always be surprised at what you hear at city council. So I would say that's a good starting point. We also have something called boards and commissions, which are for Escondido residents. So you can apply to serve on a board and commission. Usually it's a 2-year term. There's some exceptions for some longer terms. So you can be on our traffic safety commission, our library commission. We have a planning commission, which deals with land use. We have a public arts commission that is very active and awesome. That's one way to get involved. Just attending meetings and coming to hear about things. We have subcommittee meetings. For example, tonight we have a homelessness subcommittee. So if you care about homelessness, which I'm sure many people do, come talk, come hear about what the city is trying to do. Come give your experience of what the challenges or opportunities that you see around homelessness in our city. Come meet the providers who actually provide those services and talk to them and find out what their challenges are or what some of their proposed solutions are. So just coming in and meeting your neighbors and listening. And that's also how people find each other. So you come to a meeting and then you might, when I used to come to city council meetings prior to running, you know, I would meet so many people just in the council chambers. And they'll be like, oh, thanks for speaking up. By the way, what you said resonates with me. And then, you know, you become friends or you start working together, right? There's also Love Esco. We have amazing nonprofits in the community. And a lot of them do come to our, you know, city events and functions. So it's just a good place to meet people. We have volunteer.escondido.org. That's where I upload my community cleanups. But there's street stewards doing community cleanups. Just all kinds of things that are happening in the city that are also on volunteer.escondido.org. So I encourage people to just check the city website, come to city meetings, participate in public input meetings. We had a general plan workshop that talks about how do you see land use in your city. Heat resiliency, how do we address, you know, issues of heat in our city. There's so many topics and meetings that the city holds where we want the public to provide input.
So getting back to the homeless issue, yes. Do you have any ideas or suggestions that you would like to see happen in our town?
This is where, you know, I'm not always heard on my council. I have a very different opinion on this. But I would say two things that I think are really critical. As a renter in the city, you know, I aspire to be a homeowner, but it's very challenging. I would say short-term rentals is a recent policy change at the city of Escondido, where we're now allowing more properties to be short-term rentals, which takes housing off the market. So I think we need to limit short-term rentals in our city so that those homes can be available to...
Mm-hmm. When you say short-term, do you think...
Like Airbnbs.
Okay.
Yes. Airbnbs, Vrbo, you know, homes that are rented out, not for people to live in, but to actually just like hotels, right? And so so recently we had a policy change where we permitted them. First we were silent on it, so we didn't have a policy. So we started to see that people were renting out the properties for short-term rentals. And then to my surprise, we had like 120 in the city that we knew of. So I wanted to say, okay, let's stop there. and like come up with a procedure and limit how many people can own or operate these. But unfortunately, you know, I didn't get support for that. And so we actually allowed up to 200, which is concerning for me because I know we have a housing crisis and we're not building housing fast enough. So for me, it's like, let's not allow more of properties to be rented out. Let's actually save those for people to either rent or own to live in. So that's one thing. I also believe that we should have an inclusionary housing policy, which means any new development in Escondido, a percentage of that would be affordable. And the rate of affordability can vary. It can be from very low income to moderate income, but there's a range there. We currently are one of the few cities that does not have this policy. I have talked to some developers because sometimes they might push back against those kind of policies. But some developers have said, hey, we can work with that because we deal with that in other cities. We just want to make sure we have the rules ahead of time before the project, right? You don't want to change the rules on developers mid-project, and that makes a lot of sense. So for me, I would say those are two of my approaches to homelessness, to people being able to afford to stay to live here, is limit short-term rentals and make those homes available for the people that need them and actually live here and are part of the community, not just visiting the community, and have affordability in new projects. Palomar Heights, I don't know if that's still its name now because they've changed hands a couple times. That's old hospital development. Zero of those are going to be affordable, and that's over 500 units. And we know that it's a need. So for me, that's the perspective that I bring on the council. It's not one that is accepted by my colleagues, but that's you asked the question of what I think helps alleviate our homelessness and housing affordability crisis. And I believe that those two things would make a very positive impact in changing the landscape for people to have more affordable homes in our city.
Yeah. So getting back to that whole Airbnb and stuff. Yes. So if there were 120 or 200 Airbnbs happening, do you feel like there's a need for us to build a hotel or a boutique hotel? Or what should we do if we take away that temporary housing or rentals?
Definitely Escondido needs more options for hotels. We have very limited options. And I know that's been a conversation that predate me getting on the city council. And so I would support, you know, us having a hotel, a boutique hotel. Where exactly, I don't know where that would be. That would be something to explore. But definitely, I have friends and family who come and say, hey, where can I stay? And I have some suggestions, but they're very limited. And that I think that that's why we have short-term rentals. And so when that item came up before the agenda, although normally I'd be like, we don't need them, I was also being realistic and didn't say, let's ban them, right? I was trying to have a compromise. My compromise was don't have more than one operator having more than one to make it fair. And then so limit who can the number of those operations. And also let's not expand it because it will only contribute to the housing crisis. But yes, I believe that we should and hopefully could have another hotel in Escondido. And I think there would be support for that for sure. At least community support.
No, I think the overall support of it would be good. Yeah. And it's there. I think it's there. So what else? What do you want people to know about Consuelo?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm very, you know, I would just say if you haven't had a chance to know me, you know, feel free to reach out. I love meeting anyone from Escondido. I get excited whenever I'm, you know, in anywhere in the region or somewhere and I find out that someone's from Escondido. I'm very passionate about my city. I have always been passionate about my city. I love connecting people to resources. I love just connecting people in general. I love supporting small businesses. I love sharing information. So I would just say if we haven't met yet, introduce yourself, you know. You know, I'm kind of naturally an introvert, which people find surprising because I'm, you know, in public office. I would say, you know, I'm more of an introvert. That's just kind of how I charge my batteries by being alone. But I do love people. So I just love when people reach out and love meeting new people. I love touring businesses, organizations, learning about what someone's mission is and trying to support them in any way. So that brings me joy. I love the arts and culture. And so I love to promote that as well. So I would just say, you know, get to know me if you haven't already had the opportunity to know me.
If you were to talk to the, I don't know, second, third, fourth graders, what would you tell them about what our town will look like?
Yeah, I would say that they have to definitely be part of that vision, right? And I actually love going to schools, and I get a lot of invitations to speak to students. And I want them to know that, first of all, they can be in this position, that they can be leaders in their community, and that they don't have to wait to be adults, that they are also my constituents, and they can come to me and say, hey, these are things that I would like to see in my city. So they're not used to being asked those questions, and sometimes they're not ready to respond to me when I ask, what would you like to see differently? But it's always very heartwarming when I do speak to them, and then they remember me, or they say, hey, you visited my school. And I hope that that had an impact, and that they see themselves in government or in a leadership position, and that they know that their voice matters. Mm-hmm. I just hosted Earth Day on Saturday, by the way. That was, thank you, that was a fun event. And I had some students from Lincoln that were there, Lincoln Elementary, and they said, oh, you came to speak to my school. And they were so excited. And they hosted a town hall at their school. And I was like the guest of their town hall. And so they asked me questions. Mm-hmm. And any opportunity that I have to speak to youth, I'll say, you know, we need you at the table. We need you to tell, we need you to be involved, right? Because decisions will be made with or without you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you show up, if you have a say, that will be taken into consideration. And so I remind them that they have a voice, that they're our future, and that they're very powerful, and that they are leaders.
I love that. It's so important.
Definitely. Yeah. And what that looks like, I don't know, because they're the next generation, and they will determine what that looks like. But I'm always there to say, I will support you. I want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to invest in new leadership. And I'm one of those people that I don't plan to be a career politician. People always ask me, what's next for you, Consuelo? Are you going to be a supervisor? Are you going to be assembly member? And I'm like, you know what? I really just love serving my city. I'm not really looking, you know, for higher office. I'm not saying I won't. I'm not saying that's, I never say never, right? But I'm just really motivated for my city. And that's really what I want to do, is improve my city. And that's really why I entered this crazy space of politics, because it is crazy. It's not easy at all. And people, you know, will say, oh, I don't know how you do it. But when you love your city and you know that you have something important to contribute, you're there. You show up, right? It's not easy. But yeah, I don't see myself kind of being a career politician. So I'm always in favor of, like, let's invest in the next generation so that they can become good stewards and the future leaders of our city.
I'm so glad to hear all about your journey and how you were really involved. And I'm exceptionally happy to hear that you are talking to those little ones, because you're saying it would take 15 years to get a stoplight. In 15 years, these kids are going to be out of college and having their own families. So talking to those littles at that time gives them an idea to be more involved. So
definitely
investing in our youth. It's not always easy, because people want instant gratification.
Right.
It's a true investment for all of our children at all ages. It takes time.
It does.
Yeah. So when we are contributing the best of what we have to offer, it makes everybody stronger.
Yeah. And they're just so smart. And some of the questions that they ask me, I'm just like, wow.
Yes.
They ask some really great, thoughtful questions. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a joy to hear from them and learn from them, and even to see their art and the things that they create. You know, at the Center for the Arts, a lot of times we'll have exhibitions of their art, and they're just the issues that they're very in tune with, right? They understand, like, adult things, you know, because they live, because of society, and just they see it and they feel it.
Well, we started valuing them, giving them value.
Yes.
That they are listening and they do know what we're talking about.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show. I have
thank
really
you.
Appreciated this, and I'm sure there'll be another opportunity to talk more in the future as you grow and whatever you decide. You'll
thank
let
you.
Us know.
I will, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Thank you.